It's time for the Daily Stand-Up Podcast presented by Agile Dad with your host, Lee Henson. Without any further ado, let's get started. I received another email from one of our subscribers. Thank you for that. And they asked me to review an article called How Scrum Transformed Itself by David Rodanis. Now, I haven't read the article yet, but it sounds like it's going to be an interesting one, so I'm going to go ahead and just dive in. I've noticed that what we understand by Scrum is like the telephone game. Everyone interprets something, passes it on to the next person, the next person picks it up, and only the parts that they think are relevant. And to complicate matters further, it's a changing game. Scrum is not static. Its own creators realize its shortcomings and have fixed them over time. Moreover, after downloading the official guides, if you download all the versions from 2010 to 2020, you've seen that it's changed quite a bit. Things many of us take for granted as the foundations of Scrum no longer even exist in the guide, which is pretty wild. And I'm going to argue that's all for the better. And I agree. There's one critical point that defined all this, that put it all together. The new sprint review. So in a previous article published by this gentleman, he discussed the need to change the way we approach development, the need to change the way we build products and services. In short, it's not about focusing on completed features, but on their outcomes and key results, OKRs. To demonstrate the impact of this change, I showed how we generally work with Scrum and how we needed to refocus some ceremonies like the sprint review. And to my surprise, my proposal was undoubtedly what the 2020 Scrum Guide suggested. How is that possible? I have one strong theory, but I'll leave that to later with a bigger picture understanding. What I suggested was stop treating the sprint review as a demo. Oh, amen, brother. How about this? I'm not trying to precede you, but in 2007, I said that there's two different meetings, a review and a demo. Let's see if we take it to the same place. So what I suggested was that to stop treating a sprint review as a demo to show the new shiny features the developers created. Instead, show and analyze how those features have helped to create the expected value perceived. That is because on one hand, useless features cost money and people. On the other hand, products should also be accountable for bad decisions. Okay, let's pause there. We're not reviewing the developers, but the product. Okay, I agree. Now, while that may have raised some comments about sprint review objectives and how it's all aligned and all that good stuff, the focus should be on the goal and outcomes, not on the outputs and how many lines of code or widgets we crank out. I couldn't have said that better. I think that what we're seeing is, so from in my world, the difference between a review and a demo is a review is more of an internal component between the team and the product owner to make sure things meet the acceptance criteria and they are indeed ready for demo. And then the demo is the public display of what we're trying to do, but it should never just be a public display of the actual feature. I 100% agree. That public display should be showing the impact that this feature can have on the end user. And that's the perspective that we hope to see it from. So the purpose of the sprint review, and this comes from the official Scrum Guide from 2020. It says, the purpose of the sprint review is to inspect the outcome of the sprint and determine future adaptations. The Scrum team presents the results of their work to the key stakeholders and progress towards the product goal is discussed. Okay, I like that. And here are two of the key words, which if not known, might go unnoticed. Outcome and results are both used in that description. Outcomes are the effective impact of our activities. While we traditionally often focus on what has been developed or how it works, story points, features, etc., outcome looks beyond all that. It focuses more on what we have achieved or accomplished and how we've changed the playing field. Completing a feature in itself guarantees nothing. The client may not like it, or conversely, it may enable an entirely new way of operating that multiplies the application's potential. This is what we want to evaluate, not whether the definition of done has been met or, yeah, each piece of acceptance criteria was perfect. On the other hand, we have the results, which are the measurable changes we have achieved. The concept can be confused with outcome, and it is related, but the key is measurability. These can be indicators, sales, visits, things like that, things that in the end you can actually measure. So it's a very important shift. So I just want to review what was said here because this is interesting. So we're talking about measurable outcomes, which is great, but in every case, that's not always possible. So you have to also be weary or careful about what you're measuring to make sure it's something that is possible for the type of product or project you're working on. Obviously, in most cases, we want to strive for that, and that's where we're trying to go. But there are going to be times where that might not be the easiest place for us to get to, right? So we want to measure the results, the measurable changes that have been achieved. And you can confuse that, you can confuse outcome and output pretty easily if you're not careful. So in the guide, this is what they said it was different. A sprint review is held at the end of the sprint to inspect the increment and adapt the product backlog if needed. During a sprint review, the Scrum team and stakeholders collaborate about what was done in a sprint. Based on that and any changes to the product backlog during the sprint, attendees collaborate on the next things that could be done to optimize value for the consumer. This is an informal meeting, not a status meeting, and the presentation of the increment is intended to elicit feedback and foster collaboration. And that came from the Scrum Guide in 2017. Interesting. The wording was completely different, and it's only from 3 years earlier than the 2020 guide. It did not even mention outcomes or results. It focused on inspecting the increment. And sounded like a demo to me, right? Like a pure, full-fledged demo. While one could argue the 2020 wording could be derived from this, that only the words have been changed for others much more precise and better accepted within the software development world. And indeed, there's room for that. And many have taken it. But this argument weakens when we continue reading and look at some of the elements the sprint review should include. This also comes from the 2017 guide. It says, the sprint review should include the following elements. The product owner explains what product backlog items have been done and what has not been done. The development team demonstrates the work that has been done and answers questions about that increment. Review of how the marketplace or potential use of the product may have changed. What is the most valuable thing to do in the next sprint, et cetera. Right? So it's a very formatted, very rigid, very, very direct way of handling work and figuring out what's next to do. Here, there's no room for doubt. It's all focused purely on done and even required developers to defend that the features worked as expected. It is true that in the end, it mentioned reviewing how their impact would change the environment, but it didn't focus on the features, on if the features would perform well, but rather to decide on features and prioritize for upcoming sprints. It was a step forward from the waterfall model, but still insufficient. The 2017 guide assumed that the product owner and stakeholders were infallible and will not make mistakes in their choices. It doesn't matter whether the features are good or not, only that the work is as described. In contrast, the 2020 guide finally acknowledges that having a good feature has a greater impact than having a feature that works well with little impact. So they focus more on the outcome and result rather than on the feature semantics. And that brings us to how we embrace continual delivery. If the Scrum has marked the tendency of Agile during its inception and dissemination, continuous delivery has marked Agile's maturity. In its concept, continuous delivery is quite straightforward. It allows for automatic deployment of new software features to the production environment. That is, without the need for someone to supervise and approve the deployment. As you can see, this goes completely against what most of us know about Scrum. In Scrum, it's generally understood that we should wait for the sprint review to release, so we can manually review the software and decide whether we want to release it or not. Although it's not explicitly stated, the 2017 guide does say so with the following words. The increment is the sum of all product backlog items completed during a sprint and the value of the increments of all previous sprints. At the end of the sprint, the new increment must be done, which means it must be usable condition, and the Scrum team's definition of done, an increment is by a body of inspectable work that supports empiricism at the end of the sprint. The increment is a step towards a vision or goal. The increment must be in usable condition regardless of whether the product owner decides to release it or not. Okay, so We're back at vocabulary again, right? The wording is the key. The word increment being defined here refers to a new unit of software that has new value that can be deployed. Likewise, it's understood that anything less cannot be considered an increment, therefore cannot provide value, at least not relevant value, therefore cannot be deployed. Also, by stating an increment encompasses everything done during a sprint, it very clearly implies that this does not materialize until a sprint review. And this aligns the release with the end of the sprint. Even more clear and explicit was the guide from 2010. In it, not only did it associate the concept of closing the increment at the end of the sprint, but it also proposed the creation of a release plan so that a date and people needed for a release could be established and adjusted during the sprint. The release plan is from 2010. The release plan establishes the goal of the release, the highest priority backlog, the major risks, and the overall features and functionality that the release will contain. It also establishes a probable delivery date and cost that should hold if nothing changes, or that should hold if nothing changes. The organization can then inspect progress and make changes to this release plan on a sprint-by-sprint basis. In more open interpretations, it might be said that in old Scrum, there was room for continuous delivery, but the wording was not clear and the focus was not there. But the 2020 version states it clearly without any doubt. The sprint review should never be considered a gate to releasing value. I like that. Never. So if you're waiting for the sprint to finish your release, and if you're waiting for your sprint to finish for a release, and the sprint review to happen, then you're breaking rules that are set forth in the official Scrum guide. This phrase also uses a very characteristic of continuous delivery gate. Precisely, continuous delivery makes it clear that manual approval gates for deployments should be eliminated. That is, all manual handoffs that can prevent a deployment should be removed. The deployment process is meant to be automatic. And by using the word gate in this context, Scrum clearly indicates that having multiple release by sprint is an exception. Scrum clearly indicates that having multiple release by sprint is an expectation. Interesting. So in just a span of 10 years, Scrum has pivoted from assuming that releasing in every sprint would not be possible to assuming that there'll be multiple releases in each individual sprint. So there you go. This is what precisely enables the possibility of evaluating outcomes and not features in the sprint review. I love it. Absolutely love it. I'm so appreciative for this article. It goes on to talk about more, but I think that's a good cutoff. I think the crux for this is Scrum has reinvented itself over the last 10 years, and there's no reason why it shouldn't, because it's agile and iterative. And I think that in the next 10 years, we're going to see it look completely different. But the thing that's key is that Scrum has not gone away. It's been around for 20 years, and I can tell you it's going to be around for 20 more. That's going to do it. If you have a topic you want us to discuss, learn more at agiledad.com. We'd love to hear from you. As always, we encourage you to stay healthy, stay well, and stay agile, my friends. Until next time, do take care.